Salvation is for the mind, and it is attained through peace. This is the only thing that can be saved, and the only way to save it. The Course also teaches that you attain this peace by forgiving your illusions. And what they hid is now revealed, an altar to the holy name of God, whereon His word is written, with the gifts of your forgiveness laid before it, and the memory of God not far behind.
It may be helpful to remember that the words heart and mind meant the same thing 2,000 years ago. When Jay said, "Look into your heart," he meant your whole being. He wasn't referring to how you feel about worldly behavior or current theology. He was telling you to examine your mind, forgive your brothers and sisters, and remember God.
Your resurrection is your reawakening.
So enlightenment or resurrection is waking up from the dream and recognizing the truth that has always been and always will be.
And true forgiveness can't help but lead to this?
That's right, brother. Keep doing what you've been doing lately, and in the long run, you can't miss. You're worried about how long it will take, but you've got to give that up, Gary. As the Course says, now you must learn that only infinite patience produces immediate effects.
I'm working on it. I take it that with enlightenment, you experience the absolute truth. You told me a while back that during the visit about enlightenment, you tell me the two words that speak the absolute truth. I think I know what they are, but I'd like to hear it from you.
Actually, you can also get a glimpse of the absolute truth through the experience of revelation, where God Himself communicates to you in a way that reflects communication in heaven. God does not speak in words, ever, and those who think they are hearing His voice are usually hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit mixed in with their own thoughts. That's normal for spiritual seekers. The experience of revelation, where God Himself silently communicates His love to you, is beyond this world and cannot be captured with words. This experience sometimes happens to people before they are enlightened, but it doesn't always happen, and people shouldn't feel slighted if it doesn't. Each one's path is unique, but the way to God always comes back to practicing forgiveness.
And the two words I asked you about?
Your persistence will now be rewarded, dear brother. The workbook puts it this way. We say, God is. And then we cease to speak, for in that knowledge, words are meaningless. There are no lips to speak them, and no part of mind sufficiently distinct to feel that it is now aware of something not itself. It has united with its source, and like its source itself, it merely is.
God is. So that's the absolute truth. Jay used to say that to you sometimes in the old days?
Yes. Of course, the phrase, God is, must be taken in the light of pure non-dualism. God is, and nothing else is. It's easy enough for people to get the first part of that statement, that God is. It's very difficult to accept the second part, that nothing else is. That's why we cease to speak, because there is nothing else. Do you remember the old Zen koan they used to ask in the EST training, what is the sound of one hand clapping?
Yeah, they never gave us the answer. Zen koans don't always have an answer. They're supposed to help break you free of your old way of thinking.
That's true, but this one does have an answer in terms of God. What do you think it is?
I don't really know.
Think in terms of God is and nothing else is. What is the sound of one hand clapping?
Nothing. The answer is nothing.
Outstanding, Gary. That's the correct answer. The sound of one hand clapping is nothing, because there is no sound with true oneness, which is outside the universe. With two-ness, you have interaction and conflict, but with genuine oneness, there can be only God who has no parts. God is. And there is nothing else to be aware of. How does it feel to know the absolute truth?
Pretty cool. Does this mean I'm enlightened?
No. When you're enlightened, you will completely awaken from the dream. Even though you'll still appear to be in a body, you'll see what the Course refers to as the real world. You will only see it when you have completely forgiven the world, because the real world has no projections of unconscious guilt upon it. You'll see only innocence everywhere, because it's your own innocence, the innocence of Christ. That is what Jay saw, and what he teaches you now to see.
I like that. But speaking of innocence and forgiveness, couldn't some of the blissful experiences of near death, not to mention some of the good mystical experience I have while still appearing to be in a body, be symbolic of forgiveness?
An excellent point. The answer is yes. Your split mind is being forgiven and healed by the highest part of your mind, where the Holy Spirit dwells. It is indeed likely that many experiences you have, including seeing us, would be symbolic of forgiveness even before your enlightenment has occurred. But enlightenment is beyond the split mind. You will get there, and it's not our purpose to belittle the experiences people have on the way to enlightenment. We just want you to stay focused on the goal whenever you can, so you can get there more quickly. The Course says, "A universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is not only possible, but necessary. It is this experience toward which the Course is directed." That universal experience is the love of God. While the Course is directed toward experience, it takes the wise intellectual choices of a trained mind to bring about that experience. That's why we're always encouraging you to continue to study the Course and do your forgiveness homework. As a musician, you know the importance of having good chops. Although most people don't realize it, spirituality is no different. You've got to have the technical knowledge in order to make the most of your natural ability and play your best.
Then I want to make sure I'm getting the big picture here. I know a lot of these terms are almost synonymous, and since time isn't real, these things really happen all at once. But it's helpful to be linear in order to understand it better. It always starts with forgiveness and choosing the right teacher. I jotted down the pages of a couple of quotes I wanted to read here. "When you unite with me, you are uniting without the ego, because I have renounced the ego in myself and therefore cannot unite with yours. Our union is therefore the way to renounce the ego in you. So instead of using illusions to defend my illusions against other illusions, I just forgive. That leads to heaven. It's a factoid. It's like you're replacing the dream that leads away from truth with the dream that leads to truth. Because as the Course says about salvation, what could it be except a happy dream? It asks you but that you forgive all things that no one ever did, to overlook what is not there, and not to look upon the unreal as reality. The happy dream is necessary because if the rug of time and space got pulled out from under me suddenly, it would be too much for me to handle. The dream of separation seems too real for me to wake up suddenly without crapping a brick. Like the Course puts it, so fearful is the dream, so seeming real, he could not waken to reality without the sweat of terror and a scream of mortal fear, unless a gentler dream preceded his awaking and allowed his calmer mind to welcome, not to fear, the voice that calls with love to waken him. A gentler dream, in which his suffering was healed and where his brother was his friend. He's my friend because, for one thing, I can't get home without him. Forgiving the images I see as my separated brothers and sisters, which are really symbolic of myself, is the only way out of this hellhole. Like the Course asks, can you to whom God says, release my son, be tempted not to listen, when you learn that it is you for whom he asks release? If you put enough holy instants together in the happy dream of forgiveness, then you can't help but get your ass saved, or at least the mind that made it.